The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you have heard about the many and varied ways in which God communicates with people, sometimes through His Spirit, sometimes through prophets, sometimes with an audible voice, sometimes with a vision. You wonder if God can also communicate through dreams. You've certainly heard Christians claim as much, and the Bible is filled with examples of people whom God did send special dreams to, from Jacob to Joseph to the Apostle Paul. And even if you do already believe in some kind of God, and even if you actually believe in the God who's represented in the Bible, even if you believe that He does sometimes choose to communicate through dreams, you still wonder, how would you know if a dream was really from Him? How would you know that your dream is not just an ordinary dream, the kind human beings have all the time? After all, people are in the habit of dreaming. Well, stay tuned, my friend. Today we are going to spend a lot of time discussing this provocative subject. But first, the latest news. And the news on Friday had to do with dashed dreams, at least for anyone who dreamed and hoped and believed that President Donald Trump was going to succeed at draining the Washington swamp. I have to tell you, I am getting so sick and tired of spineless Republicans who rule like they are the minority party, even when they are the majority party. Look at that miserable excuse for a budget that they just passed. Funding for sanctuary cities, funding for Planned Parenthood, no funding for the wall. Oh, wait. I stand corrected. There was funding for a wall. In fact, there was funding for several walls, just not walls in the United States. Funding for border walls in Egypt and other places in the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is as much the opposite of what Republicans were put into office to do as could possibly be. It seems that having the Republicans in power is the next best thing to having Democrats in power. What do they think the 2016 election was all about? And what do they think will happen in 2018 if they don't wise up really fast? I mean, immediately. Now, I know, I get it. The House has to pass something that will make it through the Senate. And the Senate needs 60 votes. Let's be clear. The 60-vote needed filibuster rule is just that, a rule. A stupid rule at that. A rule that can be undone. The reason for resisting is always explained with tired rhetoric, and I am tired of hearing Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blather on about it. If we get rid of the filibuster, it can come back to haunt us. Democrats will do the same if they ever get back in power. Mr. McConnell, do you honestly think the Democrats would not get rid of the filibuster in a heartbeat if they come back in power? Do you honestly think their actions will be dependent upon treating Republicans in kind for the way Republicans treated them? Are you forgetting that Harry Reid already got rid of the filibuster for some nominees when he was majority leader? And it will not be a matter of if they get back into power, but rather when they get back into power if the GOP doesn't take its head out of the sand. And why is the GOP more concerned about how they will fight Democrats from a future disadvantage than a present advantage? Is it because they became so practiced at voting against Obamacare while they were the minority and with Obamacare after they became the majority? So sick of this. So sick and tired of this. When Democrats win the majority, we hear elections have consequences. When Republicans win the majority, we hear from these same Democrats about how important it is to let the minority party have a voice because the American people want bipartisanship. This would be laughable if not for comatose Republicans who go along, offering zero resistance to this drivel. What the American people actually want is for politicians to stop making excuses about why they fail to keep their promises, to worry less about what the New York Times editorial page says, or what Rachel Maddow on MSNBC says, or what Jimmy Kimmel, the late-night comedian expert, says, and worry more about what the public who put these prize idiots into office says. Now, along with a plethora of pork-filled expenditures that increase our deficit by some $1 trillion in this albatross created by our so-called Republican Congress and signed into law by President Trump, who swore he would never sign a bill like this again, right after he signed it anyway, along with everything else, Congress voted to give themselves a raise. A raise! Well, isn't that just Jim Dandy? Why not? They deserve it. They're doing such a splendid, bang-up, crackerjack job. Look, as you know, I have defended Donald Trump a lot since he became president. He has, up to now, kept many of his campaign promises, far more than most politicians, and I give him credit. But I make promises of my own. And I have promised my audience that I will not defend Trump or anybody else when they are in the wrong. It sounds great when Trump says he will never sign a bill like this again. But he did sign it this time. And I get the reason. It was his only way of getting money for the troops. We have heard this from Republicans before. In fact, quite often. In fact, Democrats play them like a fine violin. They get whatever they want by attaching it to military funding. Because they realize no Republican wants to go home to his district and admit that he didn't support the troops in a bill. A number of years ago, in the name of hate speech legislation, a horrendous bill that seriously curtailed freedom of speech was voted into law and voted along with by Republicans because it was connected with money for the troops. That always sounds so good. Gotta support the troops. But I just have to ask. If we are going to sell the soul of our country by gutting our borders and flushing our own freedoms down the toilet, just exactly what are the troops defending? Mr. President, I'm glad you want to defend the troops. I'm glad you have their back. God knows Obama didn't. And I'm glad you expressed your disdain for this bill, promising to never sign a bill like this again. I have only one question. Why should we believe you? What will be different next time? Do you really think for one moment that the Democrats won't attach what they want to the military spending again? So what will be different? You'll want to support the troops again, won't you? Mr. President, if you want to make a promise, promise that you will put pressure on Congress to get rid of the stupid filibuster rule. That way, Republicans can rule like they are in the majority, because guess what? They are in the majority. That way, we don't have to listen to the smug, arrogant, yet ever so idiotic Nancy Pelosi. And we don't have to watch that sickening smile on Chuck Schumer's face, looking like the cat who swallowed the canary, looking like he's ready to go smoke a cigar with his buddies. And while we're on the subject of telling the truth, Mr. President, inasmuch as you just promised not to fire McMasters right before firing him, it is difficult lately to take your words seriously. I like you, Mr. President, and I support you, but your word is not exactly good as gold, is it? Don't get me wrong. I'm actually happy about John Bolton's nomination. As a matter of fact, I think he'll do a much better job than McMasters. I didn't like McMasters. You can fire whomever you want, and while you're on a roll, I wish you'd fire Jeff Sessions. Just don't tell us it isn't going to happen right before you make it happen. That's all. And Mr. President, to demonstrate my sincerity when I say I support you, I have some advice that might help you. Not that my advice matters. What do you care what some radio talk show host says? And You'll probably never hear this anyway, but I do happen to know that those who are close to you have said the same thing. So hopefully you'll take this advice from somebody. Mr. President, you would be well advised to not agree to a Mueller interview. Mueller has given up on collusion, evidently, is instead looking to nail you by getting you to lie under oath. And it's easy to get you to contradict yourself because you're always talking. I mean, your mouth will never be excused and confused with the mouth of Harpo Marx, will it? Mr. President, it doesn't matter what the lie is. It could be anything. They could say, Mr. President, now you claim here that you had a ham sandwich for lunch on July 1st of 2017. We have solid evidence and reliable sources that you went to McDonald's that day, and they do not serve ham sandwiches, Mr. President. Aha! Headline the next morning. President Trump lies to the FBI special counselor. Or, President Trump, what's your opinion of this investigation? I think it sucks raw eggs. Headline the next morning. President Trump attempts to obstruct justice. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we're talking about today, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. This first question is from Hans. He says, "Hi, Bob. My son and I have non-Christian Democrat friends who question the seemingly unquestioning support evangelicals are giving President Trump. The following excerpt from a New York Post columnist illustrates their argument." And then he shares the excerpt. "With their reactions to the Roy Moore candidacy and the Stormy Daniels scandal, Trump evangelicals have scaled the heights of hypocrisy to the summit. Family values, conservatives who dismiss credible accusations of sexual abuse and wink at hush money for a porn star have ceased to represent family values in any meaningful sense. They have made a national joke of moral standards that were once, presumably, deeply held, at least when a Democrat violated them." So Hans is asking me to respond to this. He says, "I would appreciate it if you would address this." Well, hi, Hans. My response is an easy one. I do not expect Jesus Christ to run in an election, but rather a flawed human being. We will always be choosing between two flawed, sinful human beings. Yes, Trump has been accused of scandals, but so has Hillary, and in her case, many of them have been absolutely proven. So to use the logic of your friends, how would Christians have justified voting for her, especially when she is pro-late-term abortion? Now, sexual accusations against Trump are taken seriously, but have not as of yet been verified, at least none of the ones deemed as being non-consensual. Same with Roy Moore. A man is innocent until proven guilty. Even so, even apart from the scandals, even if they were true, I can already say in other ways that Trump does not show the fruit of a Christian. But that is not and never has been my criteria for a politician. By all counts, Jimmy Carter was a bona fide born-again Christian. He was also one of the worst presidents we've ever had. We'll have more when we return to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I was in the middle of an email I received from Hans, and he was passing on feedback that he gets from some of the non-Christians and also those on other sides of the political aisle and his family, asking how evangelical Christians could possibly support Donald Trump amidst some of the sexual allegations. And I was pointing out that that stuff doesn't matter when I'm talking about politicians. And even apart from sexual allegations, Donald Trump does not show the character of a Christian. Now, look, here's another way to put it. I would not vote for Trump if he was seeking to become pastor of my church. But frankly, president of the United States or any political office is another matter. Here I care about the policies and only the policies. Policies which so far have included standing up for free speech and religious liberty, both of which would have vanished under 4 more years of the Democrats. And so I support Trump without apology and with zero inconsistency to my Christian faith. I need to say this. I do find it ironic and hypocritical in its own right when those who reject Christianity start lecturing Christians on how to live as Christians. Quite simply, they do not know what they are talking about. So I hope that helps, Hans. Now, I do call Trump out, on the other hand, when he breaks his campaign promises. That does go to his policy, as I did quite heartily in my interview. Now, here are some of the comments, here are some of the comments about that monologue. Regarding Republicans and the compromises they made with Democrats for this latest miserable excuse for a spending bill, Donald says, makes my blood boil. Donald Trump may just be a one-term president after signing this bill, and the Democrats could win the midterm elections. Thomas says, we need a return to the Tea Party. Reese says, incredible bunch of losers. Steve says, vote out all incumbents. Let's start over, or let's all go to D.C. and take our house, our White House, back. Kick all our Congress out. Tell the president, we are Congress. Do your thing. We have your back. Oh, that would be nice in another world in the Twilight Zone, but that would be nice for me too, Steve. Regarding Trump being interviewed by Mueller, John says, I would not talk to them. Process crimes are the definition of unjust. And then getting back to some of the points I made on last week's program, Bill says, Elizabeth Warren will never concede the question of being of Cherokee lineage. She has her crutch and won't give it up as she wants. No needs to identify with some minority group so she can try to bank on being a poor, abused person that deserves to be in a position of power so she can right the wrongs that her people were forced to endure generations before she was born. She can't stand on her own 2 feet without having to rely on the unfortunate things that others were put through almost 200 years ago. Regarding Hillary calling Trump supporters racist and misogynists, when Trump appoints people such as Ben Carson and Nikki Haley, Tim says her foolish comments in India aren't being well received by anyone, even those in her own party. Just comes across as a bitter loser who can't move on, but she's pretty irrelevant in any respect. I'm surprised anyone really cares so much what she has to say about anything at this point. Well, what makes her relevant, Tim, is that her defenders try to say that Trump stole the election from her, and they don't stop saying it. What also makes her relevant is that the FBI, under the Obama Justice Department, decided to exonerate her from her email scandal before even interviewing her, so that our laws apply to citizens and not our leaders. What makes her comments relevant is that we basically hear the same comments all the time from Democratic pundits. And whoever runs for office next, whoever they're running against, even if it's a different Republican, whoever he is, he'll be compared to Hitler. He'll be called a racist. Happens every time. So actually, unfortunately, it's all still very relevant. Russ says sarcastically, "Oh, Bob, there you go, being all factual again. Don't you realize that the left is fueled entirely by emotions? How do you feel about the world and that icky Donald Trump? Now that is what matters." Yeah, you said it, Russ. Janine says, lived in Southern California many years when she was an LA councilwoman. She's talking here about Maxine Waters. She was crooked then, always pontificating and obnoxious, going back to the early 60s. She and her husband scammed apartment rentals and investing and were investigated many times until she rose to power high enough to completely get by with it. Now she lives in a mansion and uses federal funds to scam people. I always wonder how people like her prosper and have any followers. She must have dirt on everyone. Well, at the top of the program, I told you that today we were going to spend most of our time talking about dream interpretation. Now, this is often an in-house conversation amongst Christians, because if you accept the Bible, you accept the fact that God gives dreams to people. You also accept the fact that a lot of times, most of the time, we're just dreaming. If you're listening and you don't believe in God or don't believe in the Bible, I respect that, but you may still find this very interesting to hear what we have to say and what the Bible has to say. So here's some stuff I put together about dream interpretation. First of all, once again, sometimes a dream simply means nothing. Sometimes we're just dreaming. Sometimes if we have a disturbing dream, it was just bad pizza the night before. And we know very little about why we dream. Quite a few years ago, I had an opportunity to interview a neurologist. And he told me, of course, they've said for years that we know less than 10% of what there is to be known about the brain. And at that time, at least, and this was quite a while ago since I talked to him, so I suppose some things may have changed, but at that time, we knew very, very little about why we dream. Theories were being placed around, and I found it fascinating. One of the theories that was being considered back at that time was that our mind acts somewhat like a tape recorder, and at night, the dreaming may be a time when our mind is erasing, actually playing back and erasing excess information that we don't need. And if we start to awaken and we're in a moment of semi-consciousness while this is going on, it becomes a dream. Some of that makes sense because dreams never make sense. You know, when you're dreaming, you don't know you're dreaming. But have you ever thought about a dream afterwards? First you were in one place, then you ended up somewhere else. First you were talking to one person, that person became someone else. It's very bizarre. And so who knows what the real explanation is for why human beings dream on their own. But the Bible does talk about dreams that are more concrete, where there's something God wants to say to us, and we'll discuss that when we return. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Bible say about dreams? How do we interpret dreams that come from God? So I started out by saying that sometimes a dream is just a dream. Christians are more sensible than most people give them credit for. Just because we're Christians, that doesn't mean that every time we have a dream, we believe it comes from God. Most of the times in my life, including since I became a Christian, and I became a Christian way back in the year 1973, most of my dreams, 99.9%, have just been dreams. But there are some that have come from God that I'll talk about in a few minutes. But sometimes people say, look, you know, when you're dreaming, it's something going through your mind. Christianity's all in the mind. My friend, everything you experience in life goes through your mind. Everything, your sense of smell, your sense of taste, your sense of vision, everything goes through the mind. So yes, something can happen in the mind. The mind is a very real thing. So let's not just brush this off by saying dreams go on in the mind, it's all in the mind. That's really a non sequitur. The scripture talks quite a bit about dreams. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that dreams will be a part of the new covenant under Jesus Christ. Now, they had happened quite a bit in the Old Testament too. But usually in those days was very special people or prophets, sometimes a king. What Peter was saying is in the last days being defined as ever since Christ came, a lot of Christians say, are we living in the end times? And what they usually mean by that are we the last generation that will see the second coming of Christ? We've talked about that before on this program. There will be a second coming of Christ. Some group of people will be that last generation. Could it be us? It might be, but we do not know. Jesus says nobody knows the day or the hour, but we should not equate end times and last days with last generation because God used a much looser definition of end times and last days. The last days meant the last covenant, the final covenant with Jesus. In those days, we're told young men will have visions, old men will have dreams. Now you might go, wait a minute. If you're a young man, you get a vision. If you're an old man, you have to get a dream. Why is that? Because old men can't get out of bed. No, that's not what they're saying. Prophets usually spoke in the style of Hebrew poetry. And the Hebrews rhymed by rhyming sounds. Hebrews would rhyme thoughts. They would have a line and then they would say something similar. And sometimes they'd say it in an opposite way. For example, in the Proverbs, it might say, a foolish son is a disappointment to his father, but a wise son is a joy to his mother. Now, obviously they believed the wise son was a joy to his father too. And a foolish son was a disappointment to the mother. What they're doing is they're making the same statement, but they're just saying it a little differently. So they're saying your young men will have visions, your old men will have dreams. What they're trying to say is everybody is going to have dreams and visions. Now, when I say everybody, that doesn't mean if you're out there listening, you're saying, I've never had a dream from God. I've never had a vision from God. Relax. God does not communicate with everybody the same way. Yes, he wants to communicate with you. He may not communicate with you through a dream. What this is saying is this is going to more commonly characterize God's people. It's going to be something more pervasively found in the church. But when we get the different kinds of gifts and manifestations from God in the church, the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians makes it very clear that not everybody gets the same thing. So yes, it's general in the church. No, it does not specifically have to happen to you. But that's one verse we can start with. I was reading there from Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, where Peter's talking about the outpouring of the Spirit on the last days. He's quoting it as a fulfillment by the Old Testament prophet Joel. And it included the fact that young men will have visions, old men will have dreams, just different ways of saying dreams and visions will be common. Now, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? That's an interesting question. It seems that as a general rule, although it was not a hard and fast rule, people could be awake during the vision. And in a vision, you were removed from it. Sometimes people got a vision in a dream, but usually your dream is about you, something you're experiencing. And in a vision, somebody was standing outside of something. And usually there was an angel or some kind of servant in the dream explaining different things. And they'd see statues or pictures or glimpses of the future. That's a vision. In a dream, it's usually about something that we personally are going through. So it's a little bit different. Now, in Genesis chapter 20, there was a king named King Abimelech. He ruled in a land that was, it was someday going to be known as the land of the Philistines. Today in Israel, it's known as the land of the Gaza Strip. But this goes back to the days of Abraham, before we even had a nation of Israel or the nation of the Philistines. And he was traveling through town with his wife, and his wife was so pretty, he was afraid that people were going to come along and kill him so that they could take her into their harem. So he lied and said, well, this is actually my sister, not my wife. And he figured, well, if somebody's interested in her and I'm just her brother, that's not going to be a threat. So the king came along and said, oh, well, since you're her brother, you won't mind if I take her into my harem. Kind of a dumb and cowardly thing for Abraham to do. We've all done dumb things, so I'm not trying to pass dispersions. The point is, despite that stupidity, God bailed him out because God was in a special relationship with Abraham, and he spoke to the king that night and warned him, let this woman go. And then, of course, we had Jacob, whose name was later on changed to Israel. In Old Testament days, when your character changed, your name changed. The name Jacob means cheat, and he was a cheat. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He overcame his cheating because he had to flee his brother's wrath, and he went to live with his uncle Laban for 7 years. Nothing will cure a cheater more than another cheater. And Uncle Laban wrote the book on cheating. By the time he was done with Laban, he kind of understood what it felt like. But he had a vision, and his name was changed to Israel. And Israel means he struggles with God and prevails. Even before his name was changed, he saw this great staircase with angels descending on it. Got quite a vision of what heaven is actually like. And then there was Joseph. I'm talking now about the Old Testament Joseph, the guy with the technicolor dream coat that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wrote about. Joseph, in the last section of chapters of Genesis, he's a prisoner in Egypt, and the Pharaoh has this very disturbing dream. So he calls his dream interpreters to tell him what the dream means, and they're all clueless. He calls on Joseph, and Joseph was given a very special gift by God, and this is part of the clue. If you're having a dream and you're getting a feeling that it comes from God and you don't know what it means, it may be because God wants you to talk to somebody else and have that person explain to you what it means. God likes it when we are dependent on others in the church. So nobody's a hotshot. Nobody's the super spiritual person. We'll talk more about dream interpretation when we get back to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker, Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. How do we know what our dreams mean? Let's say we get a strong sense that they're coming from God. Well, there are a lot of ways, but one of the ways is to ask somebody, because there is a special gift of dream interpretation. Joseph in Old Testament days had this gift. He spoke to the Pharaoh one day, and the Pharaoh said, "I was standing in front of the Nile, and I saw seven fat cows." This has got to be the strangest sounding dream of all time. "Seven fat cows, and then seven thin cows came by, and the thin cows ate the fat cows, but still stayed thin." Now, how in the world's anybody supposed to interpret that? But Joseph said, God is warning you that you're going to have an abundance and plenty for the next 7 years in Egypt, but after that, you're going to have a seven-year drought. So what I would suggest you do is store up the grain and give yourself an extra seven-year supply. Well, they did that. And 7 years later, there was a drought, and people had to go from all over the land and buy from Egypt because they were the only ones prepared for it. Now, Daniel also had the ability to interpret dreams. Now, it was a little bit different because King Nebuchadnezzar brought all his sorcerers and interpreters and astrologers. He said, "Tell me what my dream means." They said, "Well, tell us what it is." He says, "Hey, if you really have a special power from on high, tell me what I dreamed." And they didn't know what to say. He got pretty mad, and then he brought in Daniel, and Daniel was able to tell him what he dreamed. In the case of Joseph, he had not been asked that question. So that's interesting. Nothing wrong with asking for verification. The Bible tells us to test the spirits. The New Testament Joseph as the husband of Mary, he was commanded in a dream to keep Mary as his wife. I think we can understand that. You know, Mary gets so much credit. We never give much credit to poor Joseph. They were betrothed. Now, a betrothal was more than what we would call an engagement, but less than what we would call a marriage. People were committed when they were betrothed, but it was usually a commitment to marry in about a year. And the husband would go away, and he'd come back for his bride, take her to his father's house. That's the same kind of terminology that Jesus used for the church, when he says, "I will return, take you to my father's house." But anyway, can you imagine being betrothed to somebody, and it turns out she's pregnant? And she sits him down and says, "Sweetie, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but even though I'm pregnant, I honestly didn't sleep with anybody. This is of God." "Yeah, right." Well, under the Old Testament law, he could have actually arranged to have her stoned to death for the shame. Instead, he took pity on her and made arrangements to put her away privately. But an angel spoke to him in a dream and said, "Keep her." And then the wise men that we always sing about at Christmas time, they came and spoke to King Herod, and they said, "We have been given this star and this forecast that this person known as the King of the Jews is going to be born." Well, Herod was already called King of the Jews. That was actually the title given to him by the Romans, King of the Jews. Now, even though Herod was in his 70s and really wouldn't have anything to worry about if some little baby was going to grow up and be king someday because he'd be dead, Herod was quite the madman. If you look at the exploits of Herod's life, you realize that his behavior, as being discussed in the New Testament, is very consistent. He was an absolute paranoid person. So he told these wise men to go find the baby and then tell him all about it. Well, anyway, they were warned never to go back to him. And for that matter, Joseph again and Mary were warned in a dream to go and flee Egypt. And then a couple of years later in Egypt, after King Herod died, they were told in a dream that they could come back. Peter the apostle had a dream saying that God was going to open up the Gentiles to the gospel, that it wasn't going to just be for Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, if every instance of dreams were removed from the Bible, we would be missing a lot. Now, what are the purposes of dreams that come from God? Well, they're multiple. First of all, prophetic missionary implications. Lauren Cunningham is a name that some of you may be familiar with. He started the organization called Youth with a Mission. And this is an organization that used to have college students, they may still do this for all I know, but I know they used to have college students get on these boats like luxury liners, and they cruise the world. They go on these cruises, and while on board, they'd be given all this education on how to share the gospel for people. And then they'd stop at different ports and go out to different countries, and they'd witness their faith. It was a fun time. It was a teaching time. Well, that was not an idea that just came to Lauren Cunningham. He had a dream one night, and he saw waves of people, just thousands and thousands of people being dropped on the shore in a wave. He prayed about it, sought some guidance, realized that God was calling him into a unique ministry. Sometimes a dream can help somebody get out of a tough spot. I already gave a couple examples of that. The king is told to let Abraham's wife Sarah go in a dream. Mary and Joseph are warned to flee the wrath of King Herod in a dream. Now, here's another purpose of dreams. Sometimes a dream will provoke Christians to ponder, reflect, seek counsel, interact with other Christians to examine meetings. That's because meditation is something that was very important in the days of the Bible, and it's something we do not do as much today as Christians. We hear a lot about prayer. We don't hear a lot about meditation. Now, when I say meditation, I need to make an important distinction, because in Eastern mysticism, specifically Hinduism, there's a whole different kind of meditation. Sometimes different religions can use the same word and mean very different things. In Eastern mysticism, meditation means an emptying of your mind so that different gods can have access to your mind. It was putting the mind in a passive state. When the Bible talked about meditation, they mean thinking, pondering, reflecting, thinking about your life, thinking about your past, thinking about God, thinking about the lessons he's trying to teach you. Doesn't mean God can't speak to you, but it's not an emptying of your mind and becoming one with the universe and chanting. So you just got to understand meditation meant something very different in the Bible. And that's a very good thing. Sometimes God doesn't like to just hand us information on a silver platter. Sometimes he wants us to really seek hard, to investigate it, to figure it out, because what we learn through that process, we will remember and appreciate and retain better. Sometimes a dream is something external. It has little to do with us or our personality. Again, the Pharaoh had that dream, and he was giving a dream on behalf of Egypt. It related to him because he was Pharaoh, but it wasn't so much about his personal life. Sometimes a dream is internal, and we're learning something about our inner character. What's interesting, and I think anybody would attest to this through any dream, is I mentioned top of the program, when you're dreaming, you don't know you're dreaming at the time. So what you're going through, you think you're really going through it. Let's say you're going through something that's testing your courage or your willingness to take a stand. It could be like a field maneuver. In the army, before soldiers go into a real battlefield, they do what are called field maneuvers. You're getting field maneuvers in your dream, because how you react in a dream is indicative of how you would react in real life. A number of years ago, when I was living in Santa Barbara, I had a dream that gave a spotlight to my character. I'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Having a dream, you don't know at that moment that you're dreaming, so it can act as a field maneuver because your reactions in that dream are the same as what your reactions would be if you were really awake. God can therefore use a dream to serve as a barometer on certain things about your character. One thing that I've always wondered about, and this is probably something that, well, I guess everybody has, especially men, is if our bravery was ever put through the test. I remember, this was back when I lived in Santa Barbara. I was in my 20s at the time, living in Santa Barbara with my first wife. And in this dream, I came back to our townhouse, and I heard her being attacked upstairs. I literally heard her screaming, telling somebody to get off of her. This is what you always wonder about. If I came back to my house and somebody had broken in, what would I do? And of course, I was feeling frightened, but they say courage is doing the right thing regardless of how you feel. I remember in this dream bounding up the stairs, ready to go in and attack this guy and pull him off my wife. Of course, I woke up and it was only a dream, but within that month, a real incident happened to me. And no, it was not exactly the same. I was not at home, but it was similar. I was working late at my office at Goleta Baptist Church. It was evening, and I suddenly heard a scream. And when you hear a scream from somebody outside, of course, at first you're thinking it could just be kids playing, teenagers. But I listened again more carefully. It turned out to be a blood-curdling scream. Somebody just pleading, help me, please help me. Some woman was being attacked. I didn't know if it was one person, several people. I didn't know if the people had guns. I didn't know what it was. I did know that I would not be able to live with myself if I didn't respond. And I have to say, having had that dream helped me. It seemed connected. So I just ran in the direction of the scream. I got to tell you, I was praying the entire time, God, help me. I showed up. Sure enough, somebody was being attacked. Fortunately, it was only by one person. And fortunately, the person did not have a weapon. I ran up to him. I said, what's going on here? He got frightened and he ran off. And then I helped her up. She called the police. I have to say, there were a couple of people across the street just standing, watching, doing nothing. But anyway, I've always related the two because it was like the dream was a field maneuver. And then I had a situation that was very, very similar. So let's say you're getting a dream And you want to know how to interpret it. Part of the interpretation is the question, did it come from God or is it just a dream? First thing, evaluate the likelihood that you would have dreamed this on your own. If you're dreaming about something that was already on your mind, if you're dreaming about people that you had thought of lately or spent time with lately, chances are it's just a dream and it doesn't really mean anything. Two, evaluate the frequency of the dream. Now, I will say this, if a dream keeps repeating itself, I've had dreams that have just come back for years and years. I remember when I was a little kid, only about 9 years old when I first started dreaming, I continued to dream it when I was 10, 11, for several years, I would have this dream, and in the dream, I was living in the forest. Now, I did visit the forest a lot when I was a kid, so that background, I guess you could explain, but in the dream, I would return to this cabin. The cabin was mine. There was an older woman that was inside the cabin. She would sit in a rocking chair knitting. She'd be looking through the window waiting for me to come home. And when I arrived with the wood that I had cut and was bringing for the fire, she'd get this warm smile. I did not know who this woman was. I sensed that it was somebody very important to me. I sensed that I was taking care of her. Many, many, many years later, I've told you before that I was disowned by my dad for becoming a Christian. And although my mom didn't agree with that, she went along with it. Years later, when my dad passed away, I had quite an interesting experience. My mother came back into my life, and it was like a Rip Van Winkle effect because she had been in her 50s the last time I had seen her. And now she was in her 80s. It was as if I was teleported into the future and met my mom as an older woman. And she lived in Oceanside, and so for several years I was coming, she's since passed away, but for several years I was coming over to spend time with her, to take care of her, and when I would pull up, I would see her sitting in her front window waiting for me, and I realized the person I had dreamed about in the window all those years had been my mom. In a sense, I had stumbled into my destiny. So evaluate the frequency of the dream. Now, if you happen to be dreaming about a person, but it's not a person that had already been on your mind, but for some reason you had a strong, disturbing, or let's just say powerful, memorable dream about this person, you can always go to them and for confirmation, say, hey, is something going on with you lately? I have reason to believe God may have put you on my heart. In the early years that we lived in San Diego, my wife and I had a young couple that were friends. They don't even live in San Diego anymore, but still, I'm not going to give their names over the air. But we had had kind of a falling out of the ways, and I was feeling bad about it. And one night, I had this dream that we had gone to the wild animal park with them. And while we were at the wild, they call it the safari park. Now it was called the wild animal park back then. I was walking with the husband, and I started telling him that I was regretting that there seemed to be some distancy in our relationship. I woke up, and the first thing my wife tells me is that this couple called on the spur of the moment and said, hey, how would you like to go to the wild animal park with us today? I did not have much trouble wondering if God wanted me to have a talk with this husband. And while we were there, it actually came true. We talked, and I brought up our relationship, and we chatted about it. Another thing, bring the dream before the body to see if some prophet might interpret it. Now, be careful, because if you ask Christians for an interpretation, somebody will always have one. And it doesn't necessarily mean that God said anything to them. We're so good at putting words in God's mouth. One of those tests, again, in the Old Testament was, hey, why don't you tell me first what I dreamed? But yeah, there is precedent in the Bible of us telling the dream. We had this was a man who was one of the people who mentored me when I was in college. His name was John Matsum. So I was very honored that in my first Christian ministry, we brought John Matsum on our retreat. Somebody had a very disturbing dream on the retreat. One of the students, she dreamed that she saw LA blow up as a nuclear holocaust. And she also saw some monks with hooded robes up on the hills chanting. And the music from the chant was this warm feeling, and she wanted to go with them, but she was afraid to go. She's telling us this thing, and I don't know what the heck it's talking about. John Matsum says, well, you come from a Catholic background, right? The monks were representing religion as you've known it. They represent the people on this retreat who have this relationship with God that you're sensing. LA is where you come from. That represents your old way of life. She just melted. She knew that that was exactly what the dream meant, and she gave her life to Christ. Okay, dreams, just one of the many ways that God speaks to you. We'll see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.